Praise God. It's good again to be here this morning. It's always a privilege to speak for the Lord. This week in our Journey to Jerusalem series, Peter is in the spotlight. I don't like being in the spotlight. I don't know about you. But Peter is in the spotlight today. He is a key disciple, recognized leader among the disciples. And often when Jesus was going to do something special, like, say, the raising of Jairus' daughter, he would take with him Peter, James, and John into that environment with him. That closeness was there with Peter. So Peter was a key follower of Jesus. And when they were in the upper room, Jesus speaks to him directly. And he says this in Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded for you in prayer, Simon, that your faith will not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus speaks directly to Peter. Peter wasn't very happy about it. He wasn't happy that his faith here seemed to be being questioned. He had said in verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. And he was completely sincere. He didn't think that his faith would fail. I remember going to Spring Harvest years ago, and we were with some friends. We shared a chalet with some friends, and we heard a man speaking. I can't remember the exact story now, but it was some missionaries who had gone out, I think, to Africa. And one of them, or more than one of them, were killed when they were out there. And so one came back. And he was talking about when your faith fails in the midst of problems and you come back. And the couple that were with us, the chap said, that would never happen to me. I would never do that. And I said, oh, you can't say that, Mike. You don't know what set of circumstances you're in. You could never really say that. Well, he got really angry. I'm telling you, I could not do that. If the Lord had asked me to do something, I could not do that. And he went out the chalet and slammed the door. He was real mad with me because I even questioned that it could be possible that any one of us in those set of circumstances could fall. And Peter was protesting here to Jesus. I will go even to the cross with you, to death itself. There was an arrogance about Peter that needed to go if he was going to be effective in leading. He had confidence in himself, and it would let him down. I wonder if you've ever been in a position where God has given you a warning, where, like Jesus spoke to Peter, I wonder if God has ever spoken to you, and it's been a kind of a warning in your heart. You know that he's spoken to you. You've got that impression that he's saying something, but you dismiss it. I've done that on more than one occasion. No, Lord, that's not a problem. Denial. Well, Peter was in denial that he even had the ability to fail. And we are in great spiritual danger when we think that we are beyond the ability to fail. We can't follow Jesus in our own strength. And Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him. Luke 22 and 54 is the passage for today. And it says this: "So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, 'This man was one of Jesus' followers.' Peter denied it. 'Woman,' he said, 'I don't even know him.' After a while, someone else looked at him and said, 'You must be one of them.' 'No, man, I'm not,' Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, 'This must be one of them, because he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. 'Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me.' And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly." The situation was dangerous. The Jewish leaders were stopping at nothing. They wanted Jesus dead. The time in the garden had been scary. Peter, with all the other disciples, he had gone there and he had cut off the high priest's slave's ear in the furore that was going on there. Jesus had been betrayed and then all the disciples fled. So Peter's still in this scary situation and he no longer has friends around him because they've all gone. Now he is alone and the Bible tells us he follows at a distance. He's putting himself in danger by even being there. But he's followed Jesus this last 3.5 years and he's not stopping now, even though it's at a distance through fear. I want to ask you, does fear get in the way of faith in your life? All kinds of fears can get in the way of our faith. Fear of what others think of us. Fear of adverse circumstances. Fear of the future. Fear of sickness or death. All kinds of fears that get in the way of our faith. And in as much as we give in to fear, we are saying to God, "You're not enough. I don't believe your promises in my life. You can't make me more than a conqueror in all these things." So you follow at a distance. You nibble, but you never feast at the Lord's table. I want to ask you today, is that you? Is that you following at a distance? Peter's fears really begin to grow as he sat in the courtyard watching the firelight, probably with his cloak over his head, the way they would be at night. And I wonder if he's wondering, what if I'm recognized? What if people see that I am one of Jesus' disciples? And so in those verses we just read, we hear about the servant girl. She noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. And finally she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." He was one of Jesus' followers. And she stares at him. You know, it does say that. Some versions say looked closely. But in the Greek, it means to stare at. And so this translation is correct here. She stares at Peter. I wonder how uncomfortable he'd felt being stared at. I wonder if you've ever been stared at and you feel the discomfort of that. I have for 1 hour. 1 hour I was stared out by a lady with spiritual troubles. It was uncomfortable, I've got to say, to know that her eyes were just boring through me the whole time. And Peter would have been being stared at by this servant girl. And he is uncomfortable. And he denies any association with Jesus. This man was with him. No, sorry. He denies association with Jesus. Where is his proud self-confidence now? Where is it? In verse 58, it says, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. And that phrase, one of, in the Greek, means belonging to someone or something. So here, Peter now denies discipleship. He denies being with Jesus. He denies association. But now he's denying discipleship. How sad. You know, Peter had been especially chosen by Jesus, and he was called to be one of the 12 apostles. He was clearly the leader of the group. He had walked on water. He was the first to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And yet he denies that he is a disciple. When Jesus had warned him earlier in the evening of the danger he faced from Satan, he protested, I will follow you to prison or even death. And yet, in this situation, his courage completely failed. When things went pear-shaped and he was accused of being a disciple, he couldn't admit it. He couldn't admit it. And Bishop Ryle said this, when we read the falls of Noah, Lot, and Peter, we only read what might possibly befall any of ourselves. Let us never presume. Let us never indulge in high thoughts about ourselves and our own strength and look down on others. Whatever else we pray for, let us daily pray that we may walk humbly with God. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Such important words for us to pray in our lives. And then once again, for the final time, Peter is accused in verse 59. About an hour later, maybe thought that was all it was going to be. But an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. His speech gave him away. He had the same accent as Jesus. And I wondered this, does your speech give you away as a follower of Jesus? I don't mean your accent or where you're particularly from, but the way you speak. Paul said to the Colossians in verse 4, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Sometimes when you talk to someone, you can tell by the things they say that they know Jesus. Do people see that in you and me? Peter's words were hardly out of his mouth when the cock crowed. Not one of us is above denial. Somewhere in our walk with the Lord, maybe we've been able to associate with Peter. Maybe we've been in the presence of vocal unbelievers and critics. And we've not necessarily vocally denied Jesus, but we've just remained silent. Or we profess Jesus with our mouths. Then we say or do things that are contrary to his teaching. That kind of life causes unbelievers to call us hypocrites. We confess with our lips, if you like, but deny with our lives. Beware of the devil's tactics. When the cock crowed, verse 61 says this, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I think, Lord, spare me from that look. Spare me, I don't know how bad I'd feel when that look would come. I don't believe it was an angry look. Sorrowful, yes, but not angry. There was deep meaning in that look that he gave Peter that night. And it was a sermon that Peter never forgot. He never forgot that look of Jesus. All his self-confidence was gone. All his bravado was gone. All his presumption was gone, and he weeps bitterly. Being faced up with yourself is so painful. I have been there. It is so painful. You've ideas about who you are and what you can do for God, and suddenly you're faced with the reality that in your own strength, you will let yourself down every single time. God often needs to bring us to the end of ourselves before he can mightily use us. Self gets in the way of great fruitfulness. This wasn't the end for Peter. It was just the beginning. Now he understood something of his limitations. He could be open to God's strength. When he was filled with the Spirit, he didn't fail. He did follow Jesus, even to death. I just want to say this. These few verses here give us an insight into what Jesus went through in terms of his abandonment by his disciples. He was very God, but he was also very man. These were the men who'd been his best friends. They'd been together 3.5 years. Where were they now? Even the leader of the group denied knowing him. Jesus understands when we feel let down or betrayed because he's been there. But these verses also give us insight into God's dealings with man. If Peter was to be a leader, he needed to be tested. He needed to see where his real strength was, and it certainly wasn't within himself. I want to ask you this morning, what is God saying to you today through this very profound incident? Is fear getting in the way of faith in your life? Has God been warning you of something and you're not really listening? Do you follow Jesus at a distance? Does your speech give you away as a disciple of Jesus? When you pray for others, are you remembering to pray for yourself that you won't fall into temptation? Do you need to know today that Jesus understands when you feel abandoned and betrayed because he's been there? Or is God breaking down the self in you today so that he can mightily use you? What is God saying to you today through these verses? Let's pray together.